Romans chapter number 9, we'll deal with Romans chapter number 9. We've been in the book of Romans now for some time. We've dealt with 8 chapters. We've tried to do those the best we could. But here in Romans chapter number 9 is going to be a very difficult chapter. Because Romans chapter 9 is a campground of every Calvinist you've ever met in your life. Calvinists love Romans chapter number 9. Now, there's not a Calvinist bone in my body. I am a whosoever will let him come. And the Bible is a whosoever will let him come. And John Calvin was a baby sprinkler. And so we won't go into that. But I do want to say that here in Romans chapter number 9, I teach the book of Acts from Bible Institute on Tuesday nights, and sometimes I have that in my mind. So Romans, I've got to get myself in Romans chapter number 9. It's going to be very difficult. Now let me say this by way of introduction. Chapter number 1, the Gentiles are in a mess. Chapter number 2 of Romans, the Jews are in a mess. Chapter number 3, God says the whole world is under sin. And in chapter number 4, you'll see an example of Abraham being a type of God the Father and so on. And that justification goes on over into chapter number 5, justification by faith. 6 and 7 talks about the flesh, the war of the flesh. After you get saved, we battle with the flesh. We have trouble with the flesh. We need to crucify the flesh and so on. And then chapter number 8 deals with living in and walking in the Holy Spirit of God. Then it's almost like the Apostle Paul does this. Time out. I need to tell y'all about something for 3 chapters. He pauses after chapter number 8, and he sort of says, time out, or let me put a parenthesis in this thing. And for 3 chapters, I want to tell you about Israel. Their past, that's chapter 9. Their present, that's chapter 10. And Israel, their future, is chapter number 11. And then chapter number 12 picks back up with some practical things for us that are saved. Now, here's some things that you'll need to get in Romans chapter number 9. It deals with the Jews' relationship to God, or with God, in this particular age. Has nothing, mark it down, nothing to do with salvation. Nothing whatsoever to do with salvation. Now, where do people go wrong is our Calvinist friends. We love them, but they'll take Romans chapter number 9, they'll convert that thing to salvation, and they'll say that God has elected some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. Not in the Bible, nowhere. Not in the Bible, nowhere. So, here in Romans chapter number 9, let's look, if we can. You know the history. Chapter number 9 deals with the history of the nation of Israel. You already know the history. Genesis chapter number 12, God tells Moses, get thee out of thy country, out of thy kindred, and he establishes his people. God wanted a people to call out a people so he could establish a physical kingdom with physical promises, with a physical king, with physical salvation. All of those things in the Old Testament, and you know, Israel rejected God the Father in the Old Testament. They rejected God the Son in the Gospels. And they rejected God the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter number 2 and Acts chapter number 7. They rejected God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And their history has been a rejection of Jesus Christ being the Messiah. They rejected that. They still, to this day, do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They're still looking for Him. And so God wanted to establish a new covenant with the nation of Israel, and they rejected that new covenant, which that new covenant is Christ, is the Messiah. They rejected that new covenant, and all it was like this. If you can picture this, this is the only way I can explain it. This is introduction. We'll get to Romans 9 in just a second. Picture this. We have a basketball team out here on the bench. You've got 5 players out there playing. They've been playing ever since Genesis chapter number 12. It's called the Nation of Israel. And then all of a sudden, they stop doing what the coach tells them to do. And the coach goes, "Oh, time out. Hey, you five guys, come sit down. I'm bringing somebody else to the floor to listen." And it's called the Gentile, or this bride, which is made up of Jew and Gentile in the same body. They're on the same thing. And so he times that. He says, "Israel, y'all take a break. Come sit down. You've been playing too long. You wore out. You won't listen to nothing I say.
Amen. Yeah.
I tell you to run this play. You don't run this play. You do totally opposite what I told you to do. So get over here and sit down." It's all in there. You just have to read it. Coach says, "Time out. Y'all come out." And guess who he brings? Who's playing the ball game right now? And this ain't the living today. It's the church, the body of Christ.
Amen.
Well, guess what's going to happen? In other words, he has called time out on Israel. And in other words, told Israel, "Hey, you disobeyed me. You wouldn't listen to me, so go stick your nose over that corner. You're in time out, buddy." And he brings the church to the box of the basketball floor, and the church is playing ball right now until the whistle blows. And the coach goes, "Come in, Israel. We need some more players because the players we just had got raptured out all the way we went." This is the only way I know to explain it. And so the player, the church has been raptured out. We don't know where the players went. God does, you know. And God says, "Israel, all right, you've had plenty of rest. You've had 2,000 years to rest. Can you do anything I tell you to do? Get back out there and listen." And for 7 years of tribulation, God brings Israel back to the floor. Now the reason Paul writes, and it almost like he breaks into the book of Romans and goes, chapter 19, 11, "I just want to let you know," Paul's saying, "I just want to let you know, even though it looks like God is through with Israel, it looks like they got their nose over there in the corner, God is not through with Israel. God will complete what He started in the Old Testament. He will finish what He started. He will perform it. He will complete the game. The group that He started with, the first string, He will complete with them on the ball floor. But Paul wants to make sure. Now, by another way of introduction. But introductions are real long. Messages are real short. Introductions are real long. There is a theology going around today. It's called replacement theology, which says, and I don't know if you watch them, and look, I mean, I watch them every now and then. I hate that to be recorded. But I watch John Hagee every now and then. He don't use the right Bible. But I sit there and watch him every now and then, see what he's got to say. He believes in replacement theology, which means the church has replaced Israel. God is through with Israel, and the church, we are getting what Israel should have got. Folks, that replacement theology is wrong. You can throw that out the window. That's baloney. Not even good baloney. We have not replaced Israel. Israel is still God's chosen people. And can I say this? Even though they're in a timeout, even though right now they're in trouble, even though right now they got their nose in the corner, they're still God's chosen people. And even though a parent, a mom and dad, puts their kid in timeout, makes them stick his nose in the corner, doesn't give you the right to go over there and kick the kid while he's in the corner. He's still that man's child. Don't mess with it. Israel is in timeout. They got their nose in the corner. They're getting judged for rejecting God. Don't mess with them. The Palestinians now are bidding the UN to give and grant them statehood. And if they do that, I hope they don't, but I hope they do. I don't have to wrap your hat and hold our word. But if they do, Palestine's going to say, "Well, guess what we want for our capital? Jerusalem." "Well, guess what the capital of Israel is? Jerusalem." Oh, now we're going to have countries choosing sides. They're going to come against the bear from the Hallelujah. Anyway, that's a long, far way from home just now. Now, verse 1. With all that said, Romans 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, why is Paul so heavy-hearted? Why? What's the problem, Paul? Are you saved? Yes, Paul is saved. Something's going on the inside. His heaviness of heart. Watch verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brother, my kinsman according to the flesh. You know what Paul just said? Paul said, yes, I am the apostle to the Gentiles, but I have a burden for my own people Israel. I've got such a burden. If I could, I would wish myself a curse from Christ and die and go to hell so Israel could go to heaven. You talking about something, if we ever get a burden like that, Dyersburg, Tennessee will be a different place. Alright, watch this. Exodus chapter number 32. Somebody else said something very similar. Exodus 32, you ready? Exodus 32, let's look. Exodus 32, verse 31. Well, verse 30. Exodus 32, we'll give you just a second. Moses said something very similar to what Paul said. Verse 30, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book, and so on and so forth. What did Moses say? He said very similar comments of what Paul said. Moses is trying to go before God on behalf of the people and go, God, forgive their sin and just blot me out. Take me instead. Let me give you a little bit, for instance. Paul couldn't do that. God is not going to send Paul to hell for the nation of Israel. God is not going to block Moses out on behalf of the nation of Israel. But Jesus Christ came on the scene and said, God,
amen. Yeah.
If you will just put sin on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all not getting this on the way tonight.
Yeah.
Y'all not helping me.
Yeah, go ahead.
God, if you will just accurse me, cursed is he who hangeth upon the tree.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If God, if you'll just curse me for my brethren's sake. And so Jesus Christ did what Paul wanted to do, what Moses wanted to do, and couldn't. They were sinners, but Jesus said, I can do it. And he did do it. And he was suspended between heaven and earth. He died and went to Abraham's bosom. He went to that side of hell and dumped your sins off in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you ever again. And then he arose on that third appointed day, looked at the Father, and said, I was a curse for them. If they will trust me, they can enter into heaven. Oh, that's good. But look at Paul's burden back in that Romans 9. Romans 9, Paul says, I just want. Hey, did you know this? We don't have time. I'm running out of time already. But did you know that in Acts chapter number 20 and verse 22, you know, write these down. Acts 20 and 22. Acts 21 and 4. Acts 21, 10 through 13. Do you know what? There were people that tried to get Paul. Paul, did not go to Jerusalem. I'm telling you, Agabus, the prophet said, Paul, do not go to Jerusalem. They're not going to heed what you say. God himself told Paul that in a vision, I think in Acts 22, and said, they are not going to heed what you got to say. And Paul says, I'm going anyway. Why? Because he wanted to preserve. He loved the nation of Israel. He loved his brethren. He wanted them to be saved. That's wanting somebody to be saved real bad. Real bad for somebody to do what Paul has done. Now, some people say he Paul's in the will of God by going to Jerusalem. I don't think he was. He was warned 3 or 4 times. God himself said, don't go, don't go, don't go. And some people say, well, there's no such thing as permissive will. Well, go lay out in the street of Highway 51 and see if the car will run over you. That may not be the direct will of God for you to die tonight. But you go out there and lay down, and God will say, okay, I will permit it. If you're that dumb, go out there and lay down. Paul, it is not my will that you go to Jerusalem. But if you're just hard-headed enough, and you just, your will, help yourself. Guess what? When you get there, I got some handcuffs waiting on you. How about that? Well, anyway, hallelujah. All right, now verse number 4. Let's get down to some other stuff. Verse 4 of Romans 9. Get in the flow of it. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul was a Jew, the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 4. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory? And the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God, blessed forever. Amen. Did you know verse 5 is one of the greatest texts on the deity of Jesus Christ you'll ever find? All the new modern translations, modern versions, they will change that. Because verse 5 says, Jesus is God Almighty. That's what the nation of Israel could not see. And let me say this. In verse 4 and verse 5, you have 8 advantages, 8 privileges of the nation of Israel. Do you know what they are? Number 1, they were adopted as a nation to be God's people. See that? Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? They were adopted as a nation to be God's people. Number 2, the glory of God. You remember, pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, the Shekinah glory in the tabernacle in the wilderness, the Shekinah glory, they have the privilege of the Shekinah glory of God. Number 3, the covenants of God. Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and then God presented them with the new covenant and they rejected that. Number 4, God's written law. Hey, the Israelites, man, I'm telling you, they had advantages. Number 5, the service of God. He said, preacher, what's the service of God? Well, they had the tabernacle, they had the priesthood, etc., and all those things, the services of God. And then for number 6, the promises by God. Prophecies and different things that God had given them, promises by God. Number 7, Old Testament fathers as their examples. Well, look who number 8 is. Number 8 is, what was the advantage of it? Guess who came out of the nation of Israel? Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. He's the 8th. Hallelujah, I'm getting excited. He's the 8th advantage. 7 is complete. 8 is new beginning. If you'll trust Christ, you'll have a new beginning. And Israel, if they would have trusted the new covenant, Christ is the Messiah. If they would have heeded in Acts chapter number 2, Acts chapter number 7, Stephen's message. If they would have heeded, Jesus Christ would have started a new beginning with his people, Israel. if they believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Hey, new beginning. And that will happen to you too in this new age we're living in today. If you trust Christ, it'll be a new beginning for you. A new beginning. Well, look at verse number 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. Now watch this. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now, I know what some of you think. What world? For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Alright, now watch this. Here is a distinction between unbelieving Israel and believing Israel. Now let me ask you this question. Get this in your mind. Everybody that was born in an Israeli family was an Israelite. Does not mean they were saved. You see that? It says, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. You know, Moses in the wilderness had a mixed multitude. Hey, there were Israelites that did not believe the word from Moses' mouth. There are people that were Israelites. Now, here is another problem that we have going around this country. There is a theology that says the nation of Israel, if they're an Israelite, if they're a Jew, if they're Orthodox Jews, they do not have to be saved like we have to be saved. They get a free ticket because they're Israel. That's wrong, folks. That is wrong. Why? Because God makes a distinction. Paul makes a distinction. All of them that are Israel, hey, they're not the Israel of God. Everybody's as born as there is ready to bear it. All right, let's bring it over to the New Testament application. You ready? Everybody, I hope and pray this is true, but everybody that's a member of Holy Oak Baptist Church may not be saved. I mean, just because, I'm a member of Holy Oak Baptist Church. Oh, that's good. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. But are you saved? Just because you're an Israelite does not mean that you get a free ticket to heaven. Just because you're a member of Holy Hill Baptist Church does not mean you get a free ticket to heaven. Now, we try to prevent that. People come to our church, the first question we say, hey, you saved? Tell me when you got saved. Oh, I've been saying this. Okay, good. We try to prevent that. We can. Sometimes you'll have people think they're saved, they wasn't saved, or whatever, and repeated the prayer, whatever they did. And once saved, you'll find church members getting saved. I can tell you testimony after testimony after testimony of church members getting saved. Don't have time to do that, but that's what the distinction is of what Paul is talking about here in 6 and 7. Look at verse number 7. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. You can be a seed of Abraham and not be children. But in Isaac, shall thy seed be called? Okay, now watch this. Do y'all remember a fellow by the name of Abraham? Abraham, God says, hey, Abraham, you're going to have a promised seed. And the seed of the Messiah is going to come from your loins. Abraham's like, hallelujah. When's that going to happen? God's like, we'll get somewhere, sit down and wait. It's in there. You have to read it. Well, Abraham jumps the gun. Y'all know the story? Hey, God. He says, well, I'm just going to help the Lord out. He needs our help. He's been up for a long time. He needs our help. So he jumps the gun, goes into Hagar. They have a kid. He is born with a diaper on his head. He got a towel wrapped around his head. When he's born, he got a towel wrapped around his head. Y'all with me? God's like, that's him. I reject that. God says, you can be a seed of Abraham. And was not Ishmael a seed of Abraham? He wasn't a child. He said, preacher, all you have proof. Oh, I'm glad you asked. Genesis 22 and verse 2. He says, God says, question. Genesis 22, when God told Abraham to take Isaac, go offer it, Ishmael was already born, right? Guess what God says? God says this, Abraham, take thy son, thy only son. I thought Ishmael was a son. God says, not mine. He is the seed of Abraham, but he ain't from promise. Hallelujah. Now, you're fixing to see. Paul is going to give us another illustration of Jacob and Esau. Same scenario. God rejects Esau, the nation, and says, Jacob is the one. Now, let me just let you on a little secret. I know this is Wednesday night, but I would say it on Sunday morning. Islam is a religion of rejected thinking. Ishmael is a rejected person. Esau was a rejected person. Not talking about salvation. We're talking about nationalities. God says, I've got one chosen people. God's Israel, God's chosen people. And just because you're an Israelite does not mean you're part of the elect of God. You have to be a believing Israel. Believe what God said in the Old Testament. Whatever that was, whatever dispensation you were in, believe what God said. Amen. Well, anyway, New Testament application, guess what? Watch this. We ain't got much time, hang on. All people in this world are creations from God. Agree? But not everybody is a son of God. Everybody in this room came from God. You are maybe not a direct creation, but angels direct creation, sons of God, all that kind of stuff. You got time to deal with that. Well, y'all had that last Wednesday night, didn't you? Hallelujah, sons of God. But guess what? In the New Testament, John 1:12, that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even them to believe on his name. You believe on the name of Jesus, you trust in Christ, you become a son of God. Yes, you've always been a creation of God, but until you get saved, it's when you become a son of God. Yeah. Same scenario, just with New Testament application. And so, not all Jews, just because they're Jews, does not mean they believe God. Now, look at this last phrase of verse 7. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe. This is a prophetic reference to Jesus Christ. A prophetic reference to Jesus Christ. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Watch this. I think Paul puts it another way in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, for it is in Adam all died. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. You've got to get in Christ. Everybody's born in Adam. You stay in Adam and go to heaven. You get in Christ. You get in Christ. And you're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Well, I'm afraid, let's see, verse number 8. I don't know if we'll get into this or not, but anyway, we'll try and see. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Same thing. Just because they're Israel does not mean the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now, I want you to look back to chapter 2 real quick. Chapter 2. Paul's already told us this once. Chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, I think. Chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Watch. Maybe this will clear it up just a little bit. Verse 28 of chapter 2 of Romans. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one what? Inwardly. And circumcision is that of heart and spirit and not of letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That's basically what he's saying in Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter number 9, he's saying just the Israelites of the flesh, they may not be children of God. And it goes on, verse 9, for this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. We already talked about that. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Now, I may want to stop right there, because verse number 11 is a verse that every Calvinist that I know run to. And they read it this way, verse number 11, for the children, being not yet born, of course, neither having done any evil or good, that the purpose of God, according to election, whether it be to heaven or hell, not of works, but of him that calleth. In other words, the Calvinist will take that verse and say, well, look at that. You didn't have a choice. When you're born, God has already determined whether you're going to heaven or hell. Folks, that is a lie. You remember this. We read this last time we were here a couple of weeks ago in Romans chapter number 8. Predestination is based upon foreknowledge. Predestination has nothing to do with salvation. Election is based upon foreknowledge. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Election is very simple. God votes for you. The devil votes against you. That ties the election. Now how you go vote.
Yeah. Amen.
That's very simple. Ephesians, where they like to run to, elect, in Christ. Guess what? If you won't get elected, get in Christ. You get in Christ, you get elected. Amen. Nobody was elected to go to heaven or hell before the foundation of the world. Nobody.
Amen.
Not in the Scripture. Nowhere found in the Bible. Nowhere. Now, we'll take it up there. I do want to read 12 and 13 because this is where we'll start next time. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Hold the Calvinists go, oh, look at that. God loved Jacob and hated Esau. He promised before they were born, Jacob goes to heaven and Esau goes to hell. That ain't what the verse says. Remember what I told you, Romans chapter number 9 has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with nations. Esau is a nation. Jacob is a nation. Have I got time to show you one thing before we go? How many of you have 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. All right. Jacob have I loved, and Esau, we'll go in with this. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Y'all ready? You don't go to the Greek or Hebrew to get definition of word. You go in the Bible and get your definition.
Yeah.
Hold your breath. Genesis 29. Let's look. Genesis 29. And we're going to go on this. Genesis 29, this is how you look up Bible work. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Genesis 29. Hold your place in Romans 9. Now it says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Alright. Genesis 29. Oh, let's see. Look at verse 16 for a minute. Laban had 2 daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tenderized. And he just went to look at her. I don't know what that means. Tenderized. That's hard on the eyes now. I mean, some folks like that. It's hard on the eyes. It's like to sort of squint. I do this, take glasses off, and look better. Leah was tenderized, but Rachel was beautiful and well favored. Jacob loved Rachel. He said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Here it goes, and on and on and on goes. Verse 27. Fulfill her week. That's the 7 years. That matches up with Daniel 70th week. I'll give you what anyway. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service. Thou shalt serve with thee yet 7 other years. Verse 28. Jacob did so, fulfilled her week. Never mind. I don't know how you're going to marry the wrong woman to begin with. That must have been a thick veil. You'll not know that's her walking down the aisle. And all of a sudden, it just hits him the next day or two. Hey, Laban, you give me the wrong woman here. Well, you've got to work another 7 years to get the young one. Ain't that something?
I ain't heard that
yet.
Verse 29, Laban gave to Rachel his daughter, Bilhah's handmaiden, verse number 30. Went in unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than what? He loved Rachel what? More than Leah. And served with him yet 7 other years. Verse 31, ready? And when the Lord saw that Leah was what? He opened her womb, Rachel was barren. Y'all tell me what the definition of pain is. Would you not agree with me it is a lesser degree of love? He said he loved Rachel more than Leah. God said, in the next verse, says he saw that Leah was hated. Now what's the difference? What's the difference in this? Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Or he hated Rachel less than Leah. What's the difference? Hate is a lesser degree of love. So when you match that up with Romans chapter number 9, you get God loved Esau less than Jacob. Those are not individual. Has nothing to do with individual salvation. Has nothing to do with Jacob going to heaven. Esau going to hell. Has to do with the nations they produce. Yeah. Romans chapter number 9. Well, anyway, maybe that helps.